This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we are going over Love for Real, and we have all the spoilers, so if you don't want us to spoil it for you, maybe pass on this one and we will see you next time. Are you ready? From One Dry Kiss.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, a cussy, irreverent love letter to Hallmark movies. It's our Hallmark romance movie recap podcast hosted by the ever illustrious Tamara. Excuse me. Tamara Cosio.
And my belching bestie.
Ha!
Corinne Edding.
I don't think we want to do a tally on that.
Oh, no. I would win hands down.
Yes, you would.
I am so gassy, I could fill a Zeppelin and fly over to you in the Bay Area.
Do it! Do it! See just how much during my one and only year all hot air balloons are from Satan. Don't do it.
Hot air balloons filled with your own bodily gases are okay, though.
Okay, I just had to bring up one moment of joy before we get into your fascinating synopsis.
Okay.
Today, gentle listeners, Tamara, she texted me with very important news. And I was besides myself. What did you share with me, Miss Tamara?
That Lego is coming out with a queer eye set. A queer eye Lego set. It is the cutest thing. They have a video promoting it on Instagram under all the guys' profiles. And I was dying. I was absolutely useless at work for about 15 minutes because it was just the cutest dang thing in the whole wide world. And they have their own Fab Five loft. So they have all five, the Fab Five, Karomo, Jonathan, Anthony, Tan and Bobby and their Fab Five loft, and I love it so much. I am totally gonna buy it on October 1st when it comes out, even though it's $99.
And there's even the little pupper with the sweet little puppy paws.
Yeah, I didn't even see that. I was just like, my two loves have collided. Being single makes you realize all your nerdy loves.
Well,
and
exactly.
I am just here for it.
I was gonna say, who needs to have a sex life when you have Queer Eye Lego?
Not me.
So, Miss Tamara, do you have a synopsis for us today?
No, I don't. But I found one online. I am so sorry. I realized in the 0 hour that I did not write a synopsis. But I did find one pretty good one from our friend at QCApproved.com.
Hey!
Here.
Quinchy Ho!
It is. Thank you, Quinchy Ho. You were the only one that had a decent one because all the other synopsis were like, two girls get on a love reality show and chaos ensues. And I'm like, that's not going to cut it. I know. Okay. Haley, an ambitious fashion designer, goes on a reality dating show with a strategy. Gain just enough publicity to get her fashion line financed, then get eliminated. Haley's best friend Bree is also a contestant, and the two try to come up with a plan that could help both their careers. But they didn't account for ambitious producer Luke and star bachelor Marco, who have their own goals to make sure both women stay on the show until the dramatic finale. Meanwhile, Haley and Luke quarrel over the surprisingly scripted storyline, but must learn to work together to dodge elimination and turn Haley into a fan favorite. When they start falling for each other in front of the viewing audience, Haley must choose between the man the world wants for her or the man she wants for herself.
Ooh.
Great synopsis. Great. Thank you so much. Dropped the ball on that one, and she picked it up and handed it to me and said, I got you, girl.
Oh.
Do you have some fun facts?
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I do happen to have some fun facts. Tiana Tolley, who plays Bree, one of the leading ladies in Love for Real, she's Hawaiian.
I figured.
Yeah. So she grew up there. She's lived there all her life. Love for Real was actually filmed in Hawaii.
What?
Uh-huh. Not Hallmark Town, actually Hawaii. And I have a few fun facts about our friends. The four stars of this are Chloe Bridges, who plays Haley, Tiana Tolley, who plays Bree, Corbin Blue, who's Marco, and Scott Michael Foster, who is Luke. Corbin Liu is a hot hottie. Tamara has the burning love for Corbin.
No, we can't get into it this early on. No.
And when they were filming, they actually had game nights that they did on set, which seemed like the perfect Tamara set, because I know you love some good games.
I do.
In the movie, Corbin Blue rides a horse, but he had never ridden a horse before, and he actually got super attached to the horse that he rode, whose name was Otto, short for autograph. He was like, I felt like we connected with each other and created a special bond. So he had like a really special time riding on horseback.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
I thought I saw you getting all like little misty-eyed.
That's so sweet.
It is.
Oh, man, and his horse.
For the horseback scene, they rode through Jurassic Valley, where they shot the original Jurassic Park film. And in one scene, Luke and Haley were on a private island. And I was like, oh, yeah, it must be like the beach outside of their hotel or whatever, right?
Yeah.
No, they legit were on a private island.
Oh, hell no.
Off the coast of Oahu. My final fun fact is about who I will call the fifth star in the cinema firmamente in this movie, who plays Marie, the best character.
I love Marie.
Her name is Karen Molina or Melina White. I'm not sure which. But as Tamara pointed out to me, she was on A Different World and The Cosby Show as Charmaine Brown. I was looking at her IMDb. She has worked constantly. She's getting it, which is awesome. Her hustle is amazing, and her talent is perfection. Like, she's great.
She plays a great sassy character, which she does in this movie flawlessly.
I want to be her when I grow up. That's all I got to say. Are you ready to put on your Lays and get started with love for real?
I sure am. Aloha! We are in Hawaii. There are palm trees, surfers, and sandy beaches. A ukulele sticking out of the sand with the lei around it. And I don't know about you, Corinne, but when I think of Hawaii, I think of a ukulele with a lei. Mm-hmm. And then there's Marco, a handsome young man in a suit. He's on a reality TV set of a show called Heart Choices. It's similar to The Bachelor, where he needs to present a few special ladies with a very tasteful, very well-made glitter heart with their name on it.
Ooh.
There is a bevy of beautiful ladies. I'm being completely sarcastic. It's totally tacky.
It's so low rent. It's amazing.
It's so what fifth grader made this for his mommy for Valentine's Day.
I was like, give me 10 minutes and I will do better.
Give me 2 minutes and I will do better. There is a bevy of beautiful ladies surrounding him and another handsome gent named Luke, sitting off camera with spiky dark blonde hair. He's feeding Marco lines through an earpiece. A conventionally attractive blonde is the hostess of the show, and she asks Marco who he's gonna pick. Marco, aka Luke, because Luke's speaking to Marco through the earpiece, so we should call them Luco or Maruk, since they're speaking together, says, all of these ladies have a special quality, and I don't want to fumble the opening kickoff, if you know what I mean, with my choices.
Ba-dum-bum.
Finger guns, finger guns, finger guns. He picks a slender young woman named Candace from the group with beach waves and a flowy dress and asks her to step forward. She does with a slightly distressed smile, and Marco asks if she will accept his heart. And instead of responding, yes, 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 she apologizes and runs off in tears.
Everyone is
shocked. And the director yells, cut! Shakes his head in annoyance and says, let's go back to one. The hostess, furious, yells, no, are you serious? Our best contestant ran off and you turn those cameras back on and you go after her. It's the first episode, the director says dismissively, and we're losing the light. Reset back to one. And just have Marco pick somebody else. Luke takes off his very mediocre, very basic black headphones and says, I'll go get her.
Props!
The director yells, we need a fresh heart out here. Yeah, the hostess says with a smirk, we could use with a little freshening up. Later, in the director's cabana, the hostess Emily and the assistant producer Marie are watching the shit show that just unfolded on a monitor. Emily was the pretty blonde hostess, says Marco can't get rejected in the first show. It'll ruin his reputation. But here comes Luke with cell phone in hand. He plays a video of him interviewing Candace off on the beach. I'm so embarrassed, she says on the small screen. I came to the show thinking it would help me get over my ex, but it just makes me miss him more. Luke asks her if there's anything she'd like to say to Marco, and as she dabs her eyes, she says, he's a great guy and deserves somebody special. Emily raises her eyebrows, smiles slightly, and admits, that just might work. While all business Marie says, I'm assuming you got that in high def because that audio is suspect and we're going to have to subtitle that whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Tough room, Luke says. But let me just run it by Keith real quick. Don't bother, Emily says, and informs him that she fired him as she is the hostess and the executive producer and found his lack of respect unacceptable.
Mm.
Luke is shocked and asks, who's gonna take his place? Emily saunters over to the empty director's chair and picks up a pair of very choice, very fancy, very gold headphones. Ones you might see on a DJ in Vegas. And holds them out to him. The job is yours if you want it. He smiles, a little speechless, takes the headphones and nods. Marie gives him a way to go elbow jab and Emily walks off calling, don't disappoint me! As she leaves.
Can we take a moment here? I'm so glad that Luke, the really young white guy, got the promotion over Marie, who is older and has been doing it for a whole lot longer. It makes complete sense.
I'm hitting my forehead because I did not think we were going to talk about the race relations in this movie so early on, but let's get into it.
Oh.
I have a little problem with Hallmark's tendency to stick ethnicities with ethnicities.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Marco, I saw Brie, and I'm like, they're going to wind up together.
Right,
I saw Luke, I saw Haley, they're going to wind up together. And to reemphasize that point, because Hallmark movies generally are about couples, men, women. And so in the movie poster that was promoting this.
Oh my gosh, that movie love poster for real, is crazy.
Luke was in the front. Haley was a little bit behind him off to the side, and the biracial and the Hawaiian girl were way in the back, not way in the back, but behind them too, because of course they're the secondary characters. Although in this movie, I thought that they were pretty good contenders for like equal, co-stars.
Yes.
So that just rubbed me all kinds of the wrong way.
Oh, for real. I have not taken a timer to it or anything like that, but Luke had less screen time.
Yes.
Of all of the four of them.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's what I was like, oh, okay, is he a big name in the Hallmark world that I just don't know about? Because I felt like Brie and Haley were like really good co-star contenders. Like they were the main ones. Marco was secondary and Luke was kind of like a second secondary. And then the movie poster did not promote that. And I was just like, yum, yum, yum.
I was looking at his Twitter, though. And of the people, the Hallmark people that I'm friends with on Twitter, he had the most intersection of people who I am, quote, friends with on Twitter. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's why I was wondering if he just is a bigger name in the Hallmark world. Because sometimes if they're the bigger star, then they'll have bigger demands and how much FaceTime they want on movie posters or on camera or whatnot. So I was just like, okay, take that with a grain of salt because maybe that was in part of his contract that he got on the front of the poster, even though he wasn't like the main character in my opinion. But
yeah,
that's neither here nor there. I have said my piece. I am getting off my soapbox. Now we're thousands of miles away in San Francisco in a small loft with bohemian decor and exposed brick walls, which probably rents for about $4,000 in the Bay Area.
Seriously.
Friends, Brie and Haley are sitting on a sectional couch and Haley is sketching designs while Brie is glued to the TV. She's watching the televised version of the reality show we were just privy to. She has a poster board with heart choices plastered across the top and all the contestants' photos lined up underneath. She is what we would call a super fan.
Yes.
The narrator on TV introduces Marco, who is a former football player from Columbus, Ohio, who's competitive but looking for that special lady to tackle in love.
Finger guns.
That last line, tackle was my own. You're Ooh. Welcome. He should not tackle his loved ones. He's from the Midwest. Bree scoffs. They could at least try to make it challenging. These are going to be the easiest fan picks I've ever had. Haley points at the TV. That guy barely said two words. I know, Bree agrees, but some people have special talents and mine just happens to be a useless one. She jots down some things while Vanessa, a beautiful but nasty contestant, flashes on screen, accusing the other reality show contestants. None of you are here for Marco. They're going to make her the villain, Bree says happily. How do you know that? Haley asks. And Tamara says, because they just showed her being a bitch out of the gate for no reason. But Bree says, because the villains are always blinking and have non-existent jobs. Vanessa's face appears again with a graphic below it that describes her as a underwater enthusiast. She is a shoe-in for the finals, Bree exclaims. I'm keeping my eye on her. Just then, contestant Candace comes on TV. What about her? Haley asks. She's in my top five, Bree divulges, but I'm sensing a secret. Just then, the camera shows Candace's dramatic and tearful exit as the announcer says, Will Marco overcome rejection? Find out next week on Heart Choices. Did I call that or what? Bree says, standing triumphantly and dropping the remote control as if she's dropping the mic. Yes, well done, Haley says distractedly while pinning a dress onto a mannequin. It's seafoam green and flowy, and as Corinne said in her notes, could use a few more ruffles because there's only like 3 panels of ruffles and that just won't do in the Hallmark world.
No.
Ruffles, ruffles, more ruffles, more ruffles. Well, don't doubt yourself, Bree says, admiring her friend's handiwork. Thanks, she utters nervously. I'm just so on edge about the investor meeting I have tomorrow. Oh, shoot, Bree says. I forgot. That's tomorrow? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have had you watch mindless TV with me. No, it's fine, Haley assures her. It was a nice distraction. You're going to do great, Bree encourages. Your designs are next level and your business plan is solid. You're golden. Ugh, thanks, her friend says. I'm just so ready to stop waiting tables and do fashion full time. She gazes lovingly at her unfortunate seafoam green dress and whispers, Ruffles. Next, we're whisked away to Haley's investor meeting and surprise, wah, 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 she gets rejected.
Aww.
She's not golden and goes home with her tail between her legs. The girls have a bitch session about the bitch who did not give Haley the nest money she needed. And after some wound licking and champagne, Bree excitedly gushes, I'm sorry, I know you're sad, but I have to tell you something. I'm so excited. Heart Choices is holding auditions for mid-season replacements in the Bay Area. And I'm going to go. And scene.
Bree and Haley enter the high-rise building that the Heart Choices auditions are being held in. Haley says, I can't believe you're doing this. Forget about that. I can't believe that I'm coming along for moral support. This whole thing is ridiculous. Bree retorts, What are you talking about? If I make it, I'll be spending half my time wearing evening gowns. Your Silver Halo gowns. That's the name of Haley's brand. Silver Halo. Or maybe it should be Silver Haleo. Oh, Tamara just made a face at me. It's fine. It's perfect exposure for you. They reach the elevator and Haley reads the notice by the elevators that says, By entering this elevator and going to the 7th floor, you submit to being filmed the entire time you are on the floor. Haley says, This is ridiculous, pointing at the release. Bree shrugs. That's what I'm here for. You can wait down here if you want, but if you're at all curious, you'll join me on the 7th floor. Bree pops into the elevator and Haley is left debating herself on whether or not she should go up. A cute guy with coffee and excellent banter approaches her and the elevator. You here for casting? Haley, still fixated on the release, absentmindedly says, No, my friend is. I'm here to support her. He sizes her up. How are you going to support her from downstairs? Haley glances over at him with a sly smile. Well, I'm currently debating if I should go upstairs or if I should protest and stay downstairs. Cute guy chuckles. So, I take it you're not a fan of the show. Haley says, I don't have a problem with it, but the concept is flawed. Love can't be staged. It just happens. He gives her a cocky smile. Well, you'd be amazed at what we can do in the editing room. Haley blanches. You're with the show? The elevator dings and cute guy with the coffee walks into it. Come to the 7th floor and find out. And he closes the elevators and heads upstairs, leaving Haley once again alone in the lobby. She was enjoying her banter with cute coffee guy. And now, why did he have to be so cute and beautifully bantery? She thinks as she calls the elevator back downstairs. Meanwhile, cute coffee guy, whose name is Luke, and his coworker slash bestie Marie are auditioning women. And it's not going well. Apparently, several of the street performers at Fisherman's Wharf found out about the auditions, and a beauty queen with a puppet and a Statue of Liberty lookalike are some of the people they are interviewing. Marie is not impressed. I don't think coming here to find surprise contestants was such a great idea. These people are duds. Luke assures her. This is going to work out. She's here. I can feel it. Plus, I had to do something to impress the boss lady. Things weren't working as they were. And quit your complaining. You're in one of my favorite cities with your favorite coworker. Marie rolls her eyes at him. Don't give me a shit sandwich and tell me it's a pastrami. She turns and shouts, next! And in walks Princess Leia. Marie takes one look and turns to Luke and says, I'm taking a break. This is all you. She grabs her cup of coffee and leaves Luke alone with Leia. Luke and Leia. Wait, your brother and sister.
Put that together.
Uh-huh.
Luke and Leia. I got it.
And that actually did happen. I didn't actually make that up, even though I make up many things. Out in the waiting room, Haley is mock interviewing Bree so that Bree can knock it out of the park when it's her turn. Haley then turns to Bree and says, I can't believe you're doing this. Bree responds, well, I'll be wearing your line the entire time. And she leans towards Haley, whispering conspiratorially, I don't actually want to win. I want to be the first runner-up. The first runner-up gets to be the next Queen of Hearts. And the relationship is much more likely to last if the woman picks. So I'll have a better chance at a lasting love. Truth. It's truth. She looks off into the distance with a determined look. Move over, Marco. It's my time to shine. Just then, Luke, cute coffee guy, calls Bree's name. And when he sees that Bree's with cute elevator girl, he says, have your friend come too, you know, for moral support. Haley rolls her eyes, but Bree trumps her eye roll with the cutest puppy dog please look. Haley shrugs and they both go into the interview room. As soon as everyone is seated, Luke says, okay, you're in. Bree is so excited, but Haley is dubious. You haven't even asked her anything. We've just barely sat down. Luke says, well, I gotta go with my gut. And my gut says this is the right choice to make. He hands each of them a packet filled with waivers, releases, contracts, and other paperwork. As he places a packet in front of Haley, she pushes it away from her. I'm not auditioning for the show. Bree is. Luke smiles charmingly. This is an all or nothing deal. Either both of you come on the show or none of you come on the show. The network likes the idea of best friends going on the show together. Bree looks pleadingly at Haley, who is not having it. By network, you mean you. Luke shrugs. Sure, I work for the network, so yes. Usually the contestants are frenemies at best, but we thought it would be great to showcase a real friendship. Bree looks excited by this. A trip to Hawaii with her bestie and a chance to be next season's Queen of Hearts? Yes, please! But Haley is not so impressed. You know I don't like the show. Wouldn't it make more sense to find a couple of friends who both like the show? Luke responds. I think it would be a great way to reach other viewers, having a skeptic on the show. Haley shakes her head. I'm sorry, but that's not happening. Bree, who has said nothing up to this point except with her eyes, gets a panicked look on her face and turns to Luke. Can we have a moment to talk, just the two of us? Luke agrees, and Bree pipes in, without the camera on. He grudgingly turns the camera off and leaves the room. The two besties face each other. Reed says, "Come on, we both get to go to Hawaii together. I don't see the problem." Haley protests, "There are so many problems. Do you even want me to start?" Bree looks earnestly at Haley. "Look, that investor you met with said that you should go above and beyond for your brand. Well, this qualifies." And while Haley still isn't feeling it, her friend does have a point. So she relents. "Okay, let's do it."
Would you go on a game show for me, Corinne? Would you?
Yeah, unless it was one of those ones where it was all about having to eat gross foods. In which case, unless it was being your cheerleader, it would not be happening with me.
What if it was eating gross foods in Hawaii? No?
Nah.
Not doing anything for you?
Okay. Nah.
I want to go on Queer Eye. That would be the one reality show that I'd want to go on. But unfortunately, I'm not a hot mess enough to get on there. My shit too much together. I'm too fashionable. I am too good of a cook. My apartment is pretty fly. And the job is just secondary. So Karamo wouldn't be able to help me with that. Everybody else would be like, okay, we're going to sit this one out. He can sit there and talk to you for an hour for the whole show. The girls are going to Hawaii. They're staying in a sweet, sweet resort with individual cabanas surrounded by lush gardens. Haley gets out of the car and utters, "What have I done?" Bree turns to her and says, "Just stick it out for a little while. You get the promotion for your dresses, and I get to be Queen of Hearts next season. Eyes on the prize, baby. Eyes on the prize." Just then, the big personality in a little bitty package named Marie pulls up in the golf cart, all 5'3" of her. I looked that up on IMDb. Ooh. She walks towards Haley with her hand out. Haley, in turn, tries to shake it and introduce herself while Bree hisses, "She wants your phone." "Oh, somebody read their contract," Marie says, surprised. "Now hand over your devices." "I am the AD. That's the assistant director. That's your worst nightmare if you don't do what you're told. Read your contract?" she asks Haley, who looks at her dumbfounded. "Nope, I didn't think so," Marie continues. "Let me sum it up for you. Rule number one, you belong to us. No devices, no news, no social media. Rule number two, when you step out of the bungalow, you're on film. You don't want it seen? Don't say it. Rule number three, stay away from Marco." The girls look at each other, confused. "Unless we're here to film it. We do not like or want secret rendezvous." Rule number four, stay away from the fountain. Haley stops her. What's in the fountains? Marie looks at her seriously and says, "A mixture of arsenic and sulfuric acid."
Oh, that's the best line.
Haley gawks, "Seriously?" "No, not seriously," she chides, "but I am serious about you staying away from the fountains." "Sorry," Haley apologizes. "I was just curious." "Don't be," Marie retorts. "It's not a rule, but it annoys me, and life is better when I'm not annoyed."
Yes.
Rule number five, your best friend is, Haley looks at her hopefully, you. "No, your call sheet." Marie hands them each their own. Bree reads hers aloud. "I have to be in the lobby at 1:30 for a B-roll." "Great," she exclaims. "I can do some yoga first." "Ooh, that sounds good," Haley agrees. "I could use a good stretch." "Oh, really?" Marie says sarcastically. "Too bad your call sheet says otherwise." Haley looks down at her call sheet and disappointedly reads, "Haley, interview at the Overlook at noon." She pauses. "Oh, that's in 10 minutes. "I know," Marie says. "That's the best lighting. Make sure you take lots of selfies." Haley argues, but you took our phone." "Oh, I know," Marie says, holding up the phones playfully and smiling slyly. "Sometimes I like to make jokes too." She cackles to herself and walks off.
Oh, Marie, you're so funny.
All of Marie's lines, like, that was a long portion because I had to say everything that she said because she was so good. Bree and Haley go to their cabana and Haley voices her concerns. "How am I supposed to pretend to be in love with Marco from Columbus, Ohio?" she says panically. "I don't know how long it could take this." They walk out so Bree can do yoga and Haley can go interviewing. While standing on the porch, Bree informs her, "It may not be for that long. There is an elimination ceremony," she checks her call sheet, "and three girls are going to get sent home tonight." Haley snatches a paper from her hand and reads it, and a faint little light bulb pops over her head. "That's it. The attire's formal. I can get millions of people to see my dress and then get sent home. Win-win." Ooh, what if he gives you a heart? Bree counters. He won't, Haley assures her. If anyone can ruin their chances with America's heartthrob, it's me. Just then, Marie pulls up in the golf cart, beeping, beep, beep.
Come on, let's go,
she hollers. Bree wishes her friend good luck. As they leave the cabana porch, there is a curious light beeping hidden behind a light fixture. They were being filmed the whole time. Yes, that's right. Big Brother was watching them the whole time. What?
Ooh.
Commas are important, so I need to put more of them in there, especially after that last damn sentence.
Punctuation. That's what I've been saying to myself reading the last section that I did.
Punctuation.
Ugh. Actually useful.
No, it's unnecessary. Totally unnecessary.
No, not at all.
While Haley's in the golf court being driven to her interview, she peppers Marie with questions. What's this interview for? What kind of questions is he going to ask? What's it going to go? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's it? Marie looks irritated and informs her, I'm just going to call you curious. The interview is so the audience can get to know you. Find out who you are and why you want to be with Marco. Why be with Marco? Haley muses. Well, I haven't really given it a lot of thought. Well, Marie says, undeterred. You have about 10 seconds while they mic you up to think of something. They round the corner and Haley realizes it's Luke who's giving the interview, and she stops and pleads. Is there any way I can get somebody else to do the interview? That guy manipulates questions to get the answers he wants. Marie, even more undeterred, says, welcome to reality TV, sweetheart. Haley sits across from Luke and guards herself because he is the new showrunner and she basically has no choice. Next, we're transported to Bree having a calming blindfolded Yoda.
Oh, it all comes back to Star Wars, doesn't it? Luke and Leia.
Luke and Leia.
Yoda.
Yep.
Where's Han?
Oh, Lord. We're transported to Bree having a calming blindfolded yoga section out on the lawn. She is in tree pose with a sleeping mask over her eyes when a handsome man approaches. Can I ask what you're doing? He says. I'm doing blindfolded yoga, she informs him. I can see that, but why? He leans in to get a better look at her stance. Partly, she says calmly, to block out distractions. And partly because doing it with your eyes closed strengthens your balance. He gives her another once-over and scoffs. It doesn't look that hard. Well, then try it, tough guy, she says without missing a beat. He takes off his shirt, and we get our October-chested moment. And a week ago, I was going to give all the fanfare about his beautiful chest until Corinne informed me that this boy and his beautiful pecs were the pubescent, adorable boy Corbin Blue from High School Musical. That's right, the yoga denier is Marco. And he's built like a brick house. He's mighty, mighty, and he's letting it all hang out. But that's all I'm going to say about him because I still feel dirty that I was checking him out because he was a child when I first saw him. A little child.
He was 17 when he did that one. So he was technically underage, but he was very close to of age.
Dirty. Makes me feel dirty. Dirty,
and
dirty.
He is a grown-ass man. He's 32 and he has beautiful abs.
I know he's a grown-ass man. Now I can talk about this till the cows come home. He's a beautiful man, but every time I see him, I see that curly-haired child from back in the day, and it does something to me. The line of demarcation. I was like, ooh, yes, we get October-chested. Hello. And then you're like, that's Corbin Blue from High School Musical. And I was like, oh, fuck. And then it just like crumbled down. And no matter what I do, I have not been able to build it back up. I have not been able to put the facade back on. I can't help it. Dirty, dirty, dirty.
So, gentle listeners, aside from the fact that Tamara is dirty, but I am pure because I don't care. He is of age and hot. We are on our last episode of You've Won Love. And we made this into a beautiful crossover episode as well for October Chested, even though we're in our last Tuesday in September. Also, there is more October Chestedness in this one movie than there will be in the entirety of the other October Chested movies we're doing, sadly.
Very, very sadly.
Enjoy it.
I wish I could, but I can't. He tries to stick the tree post, but keeps losing his balance. This is harder than I thought, he admits, but thanks for showing me. No problem, Bree says, pleased. I'm happy to be your impromptu instructor. Yeah, he continues. I need a distressor before all these eliminations around here. By the way, are you new? What's your name? She quickly rips off her blindfold and realizes who she's been fraternizing with and says, you were that kid in High School Musical.
Curse your son, not inevitable betrayal.
She actually says, oh gosh, I'm late for an important meeting. And she rushes back to her cabana. Well, Chad Danforth, that was his name in High School Musical, and I can't wash my eyes out enough, says, really? As he pulls off his blindfold too and watches her go. Chad Danforth.
Wow.
Chad Danforth.
I had no idea that was his name in the High School Musical movies. That's a horrible name. Jeez.
That's why I had to add it.
Oh, that's like the unsexiest name ever.
Hello, my name is Chad Danforth. I'm here for the interview.
Oh, Chad. Away from the October-chestedness of it all, Luke is interviewing Haley. They're outside with a beautiful view of the ocean and beach behind Haley. Luke is doing rapid-fire questions to get her to think less and just answer. It's almost as if they're on a speed date. Favorite food, favorite drink, favorite first date, he says. Tacos, rosé, a short date, she responds concisely. Luke's interest is piqued. Why a short date? Haley wisely responds, well, if it's a great date, you can always extend it. But if it's bad, ooh, it can feel like time is slowing down. Luke nods his head in agreement. I get that. My job is like that sometimes. Haley raises her eyebrows. Interesting. So how am I doing? Am I boring? What should I be doing? Luke responds. Hey now, I'm the one who gets to ask the questions. Why did your last relationship end? Haley has her feisty up now. Apparently, I deflect too much. What about yours? He candidly responds. She didn't like my job. Wait a minute. Stop doing that. They both laugh. Ha 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 ha. And he continues.
That was the crazy laugh, Craig.
I know.
You just keep that up the whole show. I think I like it.
Are you ready to meet Marco tonight? Haley's face smooths over and she gets a perfectly placid look on her face. Why else would I be here? Just then, a production assistant tells him that Emily has something that he needs to look at ASAP, and he hustles off, leaving Haley sitting by the beautiful view. Luke arrives at the editing bay, and Emily, boss lady slash host, shows him a clip of Bree and Haley strategizing in front of their cabana about getting Haley exposure for her clothing brand and then getting off the show that night. Luke's brain hamster starts going full tilt on the wheel. He needs to keep Haley on the show, not for selfish reasons, no, not because he enjoys bantering with her so much, no, but so that the friendship angle can play out further. Yeah, that's it.
Sure, yeah, sure.
The light bulb goes off over his head and he grabs the call sheet to make some changes. Later that afternoon, Bree and Haley meet on the beach and Bree tells her how she ran into Marco, breaking rule number 3, that she ran away, but maybe playing hard to get will work in her favor. Then she says, he was even cuter in person than he is on TV. You should see his luscious abs. They're just gorgeous and don't make me feel dirty at all.
Lucky.
Unlike that pedophile Tamara.
I'm just saying, if your friend had a kid that you knew at a certain age his whole life, and then you saw him like 13 years later and he was a grown ass man, but a good looking grown ass man, but still, wouldn't you see that and be like, I see the child that I knew back in the day?
I will tell you of some people that I know who I have seen their children grow up, and then I see the grown ass man that their child has become, and I'm like, wow, he's hot. Am I going to tap that? Absolutely not. Am I interested in doing anything at all inappropriate with him? Absolutely not. Do I have eyes? Yes. Yes, I do.
We're two completely different creatures, Corinne. Two completely different creatures. That's you. And I'm like, look away. Look away. Avert your eyes. Avert your eyes.
He was even cuter in person than he is on TV. Luke hears the last part as he comes up to the friends. You know, he says, it's not nice to talk about me behind my back. Haley responds, ha ha ha, what do you want? Luke says, I've got a schedule change for y'all. You two need to be on the patio with the other contestants in 20 minutes. Bree and Haley look at their new call sheets and Bree says, poolside wine tasting? And Haley says, what happened to the formal dinner? Luke plays it off. It's so much effort getting fancy all the time. We thought we'd give everyone a break and keep it casual. Haley plasters a smile on her face. That's just so great. So when will we be dressing in evening wear? Luke looks at his call sheets. Well, he flips through them. Looks like that won't be happening until the finale. He looks up smugly, says, see you in 20, and walks off, leaving the stunned besties behind. Back at their cabana, they realize that they must have been picked up on the... picked up by the camera outside of their cabanas. And while Haley isn't happy to be stuck there until the finale, she is going to make lemonade out of lemons, gosh darn it. And she grabs her sewing kit in preparation for their poolside event.
Next, the gals are at the poolside wine mixer. Haley, not to be outdone by the new directions on her call sheet, has turned the seafoam green ruffled dress into a poolside gown that very much channels the Statue of Liberty. I didn't even need to describe it. If you've seen the Statue of Liberty, you've seen this dress. You're expected to mingle with the existing cast of ladies, but everywhere they turn, they get an icy reception. Until Bree hits up Vanessa, a.k.a. the villain, at the cheese table. Vanessa tries to solidify how strong her and Marco's connection is until she finds out that Bree has been watching the first episodes of Heart Connection. Then she turns desperate for news from the outside. How am I being perceived? Am I the front runner? She gushes. And who's the villain? It's Skylar B, isn't it? Bree is saved from answering her when Haley joins them. Introductions are made and Vanessa confirms, oh, you guys are the best friends. Yep. Haley says, since we were eight. Oh, Vanessa coos with fake sweetness. You're here for each other. Well, she snaps back into thinly veiled contempt. You may be here for each other, but I'm here for Marco, and I'm not leaving without him. She flounces away while a cameraman follows her. Haley looks on flabbergasted, and Bree muses. She's playing the clip game. The more clips she gets, good or bad, ensures she'll be on the show longer. Oh, Haley reaches for her glass because she realizes she's going to have to deal with this shit for a little while longer. Meanwhile, Marco is sitting backstage contemplating his upcoming decisions. Luke comes up and says, let's use the earpiece less today. We don't want to sound canny. Is that what the people are saying? Marco asks, concerned. No, 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 Luke assures him. We just want to try and capture it from the heart. Yours, not mine, he adds with a nervous chuckle. But Keith always said I'm supposed to do what you tell me. Well, Luke informs him, Keith isn't here anymore, and I'm telling you to use your words, Marco. It's going to be great. We're going to throw some surprises at you and have a lot of fun. Marco looks at the earpiece, a.k.a. his safety net, sadly, but agrees to go it alone. Now it's showtime, and he is in front of the cameras getting introduced by Emily. It's time, she announces, for our King of Hearts to meet some new faces. Ooh. Bree comes into the camera shot, and Marco's face lights up. If smiles could talk, his would say, hey, yoga girl. They hug, and when she stands in front of him, he smiles, saying, Bree, I feel like I know you. Have we met before? Maybe a concert, a coffee shop, or a yoga class? She plays along. I know what you mean, she agrees. Keep me around and maybe we could figure it out together. They have some more get-to-know-you witty banter, then he asks her to fill in the blank. I don't want to leave this island without... She thinks about it for a moment and finishes the sentence with, without seeing a rainbow. You've never seen a rainbow? He asks. And she says, of course, but I haven't seen a Hawaiian rainbow. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to be magical. This is the rainbow state, after all. He smiles with an, I'll keep my eyes peeled for you. Okay, last question. What's your perfect first date? He asks. She smiles in turn and says, something chill and challenging. Maybe blindfolded yoga. Have you heard of it? He chuckles and says, I'll have to check it out. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you. Me too, she says, and we are backstage again. Marie and Luke are staring at the monitor and are awestruck. Marie asks, was that all him? And Luke confirms, yep. Good for you, Marco, Marie murmurs. And Luke says, he may not need an earpiece at all. Just then, the fashion design ninja, Haley, appears at Luke's side and says, why does he need an earpiece? Luke grabs his chest and says, geez, you scared me. Is he wearing an earpiece? She asks again. And Luke says, sometimes he needs a romantic assist. She scoffs. If only dating was a team sport, am I right? Here it kind of is, he informs her. His walkie-talkie buzzes, and we hear, does anybody have eyes on Haley? Luke smiles knowingly and holds up his fingers and counts. 5, 4, 3, 2. Haley gives him a what the fuck you doing face just as Marie pops in and scolds, what are you doing back here? Talent is not allowed in Video Village. Aw, Haley says, touched. Called me talent and not curious. I don't care what your name is, she retorts. Just get out here. Before she leaves, she looks at Luke seriously. How do I know if I'm talking to you or him? She asks. You don't, he informs her, and she scowls and goes off to meet Marco.
Now that it has been established that Haley knows that Luke is talking in Marco's ear, when Haley meets Marco for the first time, Haley and Luke have a bit of a conversation using Marco as their conduit. Haley, looking beautiful in her Statue of Liberty sarong dress, approaches Marco with a big smile.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it a beautiful dress, but okay.
I was calling her beautiful.
Got it.
And describing the Statue of Liberty sarong dress. See, two different things.
One might be confused by that description because that dress was something, but it was not beautiful.
I appreciate you helping me to clarify. Haley looks beautiful. Her dress looks like she's wearing a Statue of Liberty sarong. There you go. She approaches Marco with a big smile and a hug. So nice to meet you, Haley effuses. Marco agrees, and then Luke says in Marco's earpiece, ask her where she got the dress. And when Marco says, wow, you look beautiful. Where'd you get that dress? Haley knows.
The Statue of Liberty store.
Oh, I was wondering where I could get a dress like that. Maybe I can get us bestie dresses so that we can match at the Statue of
Liberty store. I'll wear the crown and you hold the flame. Oh my God, it'd be perfect.
Yes. We'll both have a book. Maybe Piper Parish. By Miss Kayla Kagan.
Oh, of course.
When Marco says, wow, you look beautiful. Where'd you get that dress? Haley knows that she's talking to her banter beau, Luke. Haley lets him know that she made it in 27 minutes, drops in that she had to make a game time decision for Marco. Finger guns. For Marco's benefit. And when Marco says via Luke, well, you look absolutely stunning. Haley's smile grows big and she says, well, you inspired me. And she takes a moment to look off in Luke's direction in a big, yeah, I know it's you talking to me play.
I'm trying to figure out what he said to inspire her Statue of Liberty, like something very patriotic, mayhaps. Did he stand up and do the Pledge of Allegiance or sing the national anthem, maybe?
He said, oh, say, can you see? We're not wearing evening gowns, so you're going to have to stay on the show longer. And sorry you can't wear your fancy dresses. That's how he inspired her.
That's good. Beautiful. That's real good. Thank you. Your song singing impromptu-ness is just, it's mwah. Chef's kiss. Mwah. Chef's kiss.
All of these, like, super patriotic people are now like, one star, one star, one star.
I'm not saying anything bad about our lovely country. I'm just saying she's wearing a Statue of Liberty dress, and there must have been something patriotic that inspired, as she said, her gown. That's all.
Oh, no, I'm talking about America. Me taking the national anthem and changing it into a dress song.
It was a beautiful rendition. I don't care what anybody says. I'll stand behind you, Corinne.
Thank you. Thank you. Besties for life. Emily sees the glance that Haley gives towards Luke, and she's not happy. There is something going on under her nose, and she's going to put a stop to it. She gets on the walkie. Marie, do you copy? Go for Marie, she says. Emily asks her to move to a secure channel, and we move on to the next scene. Next thing we know, there is a glittery red heart filling the screen while a man precisely paints Luan in a fancy script onto it. You have the Baskin-Robbins.
The Baskin-Robbins look on my face?
Yes, cake yes, decorator look Baskin on your Robbins. Face right now. Right now. Oh my God. Chuck no. Hughes.
I was Chuck twitching. Hughes. I was like, oh my God, no. Oh my God, no. And that's on television. My hand's cramping. Dear listeners, I have really nice handwriting. I have been crafting it since I could write. I'm very anal about it. So much so that I used to handwrite my papers in middle school, and if it wasn't neat enough, I would trash it and start all over again. I have a problem, I admit it. One time, me and Corinne were throwing a baby shower for my coworker, and we went in to get an ice cream cake from Baskin Robbins. And as we were there picking up the cake, he said, "Would you like something written on it?" And we said, "Yes, please." And as he was writing it, I had the same feeling I had when I watched this scene. He was not writing it really well. Halfway through, as he was putting the congratcha, he stopped, looked me directly in the eye, and said, "I have really good handwriting, don't I?" And Corinne practically had to tackle me to the ground so I didn't leap over the counter and take the icing from his hand and do it myself.
He's like, "I bet you're surprised that a guy like me makes the decorating look so good." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't think that's what Tam's thinking right now."
That was all that was coming out of my mouth, and I had to walk away. Same feeling as this, because Luann, I'm just going to let you continue. I mean, you know how I feel about bad penmanship, and this has all the bad penmanship.
I think that we just need to give you an opportunity to make your own glitter heart with the names Haley and Bree on them so that you can show to the world how amazing your glitter hearts would be.
I would totally like Bree and Haley the shit out of those hearts and be like, "Oh yeah, that's so much better." After I make them the proper way.
I would have been twitching from that too. Woo! The man precisely paints Luan in a, quote, fancy script onto the glittery red heart while Marie looks on. Luke approaches her. "So, what's going on?" Marie lifts her hands. "Don't look at me. These are the names Emily gave me over the walkie." Luke glances at the names. "Huh. Are you sure you heard her right?" Marie gets a twinkle in her eye. "Well, there was a lot of static." Luke responds, "Gosh, I sure hate it when that happens. Makes it hard to hear certain names clearly." Marie responds, holding up a black Sharpie. "Whatever you're doing, I didn't see it." Luke grabs the Sharpie and Marie walks off. "Thank you," he calls after her as he grabs a heart at the now empty table and uncaps the Sharpie. Next thing we know, we're poolside and seeing boss lady and Heart Choices host Emily walking forward to a red box with Marco. The Heart Choices ladies flank them to the left and to the right. Emily says, "And now three lovely ladies will have to say aloha to Marco and Hawaii a final time as Marco makes the heart choices of sending them home. Are you ready to make those heart choices, Marco?" Marco nods his head, looks serious, and opens the red box in front of him. Dum 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 dum. Suspenseful music plays inside the box. Marco grabs the first heart. dum, 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 holding it in front of him with the name facing towards him. Vanessa, can you come up? Vanessa smiles giddily and approaches. Marco pontificates. You are an original, Vanessa. She blushes and looks demurely down. Every time I see you, I wonder, what will happen next? Will you accept this heart and continue this unpredictable adventure with me? Vanessa laughs. Yes! They kiss each other on the cheek and she returns to the ladies she was standing with. Emily looks smugly on. Marco grabs another heart and calls Bree. She approaches with a big grin that she just can't keep from her face. He says, I know we just met, but I feel like we've known each other forever, and I want to make sure that you see that rainbow. Will you accept this heart? She looks up and says, yes! They rinse, wash, repeat on the departure, and Marco grabs the last heart. Luann, will you step forward? Luann excitedly comes forward, and Marco, who I'm guessing is being directed to do all of this as a big fuck you to Emily from Luke, says, you have taught me so much. Before I met you, I didn't know the difference between astronomy and astrology, but now I know that I'm a Cancer with a moon in Virgo and with my Venus in Gemini. Luann giggles.
Venus? He said Venus. Luann giggles giddily.
Marco looks into her eyes. The more I learned about my chart, the more that I realized that our stars don't align. Luann's smile drops, and I'm like, cold, Marco, cold. He continues. Thank you. I don't know if I ever would have realized that without your help. Luann looks confused at the crappy compliment. You're welcome? Marco continues. Unfortunately, I don't have a heart for you tonight. And Luann goes back to her side, looking dejected. Marco then calls Haley's name. Haley looks surprised. But with a little nudging from Bree, she heads up to Marco. He starts his speech. You're smart, ambitious, and, from what I hear, curious. I haven't really gotten a chance to know you, and I think it would be a shame to not explore things further with you. I'm curious to find out who the real Haley is. So, would you accept this heart? He holds out the heart for her with her name scrawled on it. Haley pauses. I'd really love for you to get to know the real me, but for that to happen, you can't be the only one asking questions. Relationships are built on trust. If you want me to be open with you, I need you to be open with me too. She looks out towards Luke, and Marco smiles. Absolutely. She's talking to you, Luke. After the show, Brian and Haley compare hearts, and it's very obvious that one of these things is not like the other.
Which one of these things is doing its own thing? Now it's time to play our game. It's time to play our game.
By the beautifully printed name on Bree's versus the all caps scrawl on Haley's. Haley sees Luke's hand in this and isn't sure what to think. Meanwhile, boss lady and host Emily is pissed. She wanted Haley gone, but Luke didn't end run around her. Finger guns, finger guns, finger guns! Luke assures her that he has a plan and that Luann's storyline was played out. And Emily assures him that if he keeps surprising her and doesn't keep her in the loop, golden headsets can be worn by someone else.
Whose name rhymes with Corey?
Yes.
Yes. That night, the girls are in their cabana, and Bree says, romantic assist, gross. Well, if it's any consolation, Haley offers, I heard Luke say that they aren't going to use the earpiece that much. Bree responds with, it's just so disappointing. That felt so organic, almost real. Her hurt is showing, but she hides it behind her competitive mode. Okay, well, anyways, we should go over the game plan for the next episode. She pulls out her notes. Tomorrow, if it's a group date, let Vanessa drive the train. If it's a one-on-one, play the ambivalent card harder. Make Marco work for it.
Yeah.
What if it's a double date, Haley asks. That's tougher, Bree admits, and mulls over something seriously. Haley, also mulling over their predicament, voices her concerns. I think we may be in a lose-lose with this wardrobe situation. What do you mean? Bree asks. Well, if we both get to the finals, great. We look stunning, but neither of us wants to win. We both can't get second place. Bree ponders, and I don't have a flow chart for that. But, she adds confidently, we'll figure it out. Yeah, Haley agrees. There is no one else I would rather face nationally broadcast humiliation with than you.
Aww.
Bree swoons. That's so nice. Just then, a thump is heard at the window.
It's a note that says,
nice work, H. Meet me by the fountain. Bree thinks it's a bad idea to go, but Haley protests. They don't call me curious for nothing. And now, a long-awaited, well-overdue episode of ODK
Yay!
Theater. And now, thank you for joining us for an episode of ODK Theater. I have a director's note. Corinne,
yes.
I want you to channel your inner evil.
Ooh.
Find every self-centered petty bone in your body and bring it forth, because you'll be playing Vanessa. Think Joan Collins meets Maleficent with a sprinkle of Joan Crawford in there for good measure.
Whoa.
Can you handle that?
I don't know, but I'm going to get my big hair on and go all dynasty.
I am spraying you with hairspray and confidence.
Hairspray confidence and lots of perfume and furs.
And shoulder pads. Lots and lots of shoulder pads.
Lots of shoulder pads and lots of mascaras.
Mascara.
Yes.
It's night. We are in a dark garden near a fountain. Haley is walking with trepidation and calls out, hello? A dark figure from the bushes emerges with something held aloft. Is it a weapon or something intended to bring Haley harm? Nope, it's wine. Two glasses of wine.
Ooh, I totally underestimated you. That bit you told Marco about trust was genius. I only wish I thought of it first. Brava, my dear, brava.
She hands her one of the glasses and Haley looks at it suspiciously. At first she thought Vanessa had a drinking problem, hence the double fisting, but now she wonders if she's trying to poison her.
We can speak freely. The fountains drown out the noise. That's why they don't want us here. It's the one place we can tell. Secrets.
Or hide dead bodies, Haley thinks to herself.
I want to propose a partnership.
A partnership? Haley is dumbfounded, but before she can divulge that she doesn't have those types of feelings for Vanessa, she clarifies.
As rivals, of course. We can plan a rivalry that will send the ratings through the roof.
Roof, 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 roof. I don't know what you mean.
Don't play coy with me. Good girls only get so far in this game. Are you a good girl?
She asks huskily, giving Haley the once-over, but then seeming to snap back to her senses.
Being bad equals good ratings and will keep us on the show longer. So have a temper tantrum. Lock yourself in the bathroom. Throw wine in my face.
Haley looks at the wine, disappointed. Such a waste of a good glass of wine, she thinks.
Throw it! Throw the wine in my face!
She demands, and Haley flings it half-heartedly, so barely a splash lands on Vanessa's arm. She licks it off like a kitty cat and purrs.
Next time, don't close your eyes.
She in turn flings her full glass right in Haley's face and saunters away, saying,
think about it. The offer won't be on the table for long. Tick-tock, tick-tock.
And that concludes this episode of ODK Theater. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's the next day, and Bree and Haley have the good fortune of being the two people on the group date with Marco. They pull up to a large, beautiful, grassy area and start walking to the shooting location. Haley is wearing a white V-neck blouse with a coral-colored miniskirt And Bree is wearing a white sleeveless button-down shirt with some cute white shorts and a pink chain link necklace. Yes.
I didn't see the necklace. Dang it.
Oh, it's... Dang it. It's like a choker, but it's like actually pretty sizable around her neck. It's pretty impressive. Marie approaches them. Okay, ladies. Are you ready to saddle up for your dream date? Haley gets a look of shock on her face. I'm deathly allergic to horses. Bree chimes in. Truth. A police horse nuzzled her at a parade in fifth grade and she had to go to the ER. However, I love horseback riding. Marie's friendly demeanor transitions to highly irritated. Haley, when we said you were going riding, why didn't you say something? And I'm wondering why she's wearing a miniskirt to go riding on anything. Except for that sweet man. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Hey.
Riding on that Marco Polo. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh, that's the wrong person.
Oh, man, it's in my head again. It's in my head again.
You had Haley doing it to Marco. Oof. Okay. Haley looks at her innocently. I thought it was a bike ride or something. Marie says, oh, you just stay there. We'll figure out what to do with you in a minute. And she leaves the ladies to talk to Luke. When Marie finds Luke, she says, you will not believe this. Haley is deathly allergic to horses. Our group date is a bust. Luke thinks a moment. Okay, let's split up. The horseback riding date is already all planned out. So why don't you direct that one and I'll get more interviews with Haley here. Marie gives Luke a dubious look, and Luke responds to said look with, what, you don't think you can do what I've been doing? Marie rolls her eyes. Please. I'm worried you're going to leave the lens cap on. You sure you don't want me to do the interview? Unless you have a preference. Uh-huh. Luke, all casual, says, no, I'll be fine over here. You have a good time on your horseback riding date. We next see Bree and Marco sitting on their horses on their not-so-romantical date. Instead of them just clopping along on horses and casually chatting, they need to wait around for shots to be set up, and it's no fun. Bree and Marco whisper to each other so they don't get yelled at for talking. Bree says, ugh, all this waiting is lame. Marco responds, I'm kind of used to it. Ever since I was a kid, I had coaches telling me where to go and what to do. Bree gets a twinkle in her eyes. What if we called a reverse? Finger guns, finger guns, finger guns! Marco looked surprised. What, just turn the horses around and ride off? I'm from downtown Columbus. Sitting here on this horse is the longest I've been on a horse in my life. Bree says, do you trust me? Raising an eyebrow. He smiles in response, and Bree and Marco turn their horses around and gallop off into the rural Hawaii. Turn their horses around and gallop off into rural Hawaii.
That's so funny that you said it in that, like, foghorn, like, not on the voice, because I was going to say, when you were doing your finger guns, you look like Yosemite Sam, and your enthusiasm, like, you're not doing, like, the suave finger guns, like, hey, lady, you're like, finger guns, like, flailing in the air. Your enthusiasm is contagious with your finger guns.
I kind of think of them as foam finger guns because they come out whenever, like, there's a football reference. I don't know what a reverse is, but I mean, I can kind of figure it out from what it's called, but still. It is not a term that I would ever use in my life, but maybe I will now. Finger guns. As they gallop off, they can hear Marie in the distance. Golf cart! Get the golf cart! While all this is going on, Haley and Luke are getting to know each other more. Luke acknowledges talking to Haley through Marco. Luke's passion is documentaries, and Haley and Luke have delightful banter that doesn't translate well in this medium. But trust me, it's lovely, and they're creating a bond.
Mm-hmm. After their horseback ride, Bree and Marco end up on a beautiful cliffside overlooking the water. They both muse over how much trouble they're in, and Marco says, Marie is gonna kill us. Oh, I know, Bree answers. So why are you on the show, putting up with all of this? Marco gets serious and shares that it was his agent's idea to keep him in the spotlight after he blew his knee out. "I didn't want to get forgotten," he says solemnly. "How could they?" Bree counters. "You were all pro in your rookie season." He is surprised, but the moment is over. She smacks him on the arm. "Look, look, look! It's raining over there, but it's sunny here." And he laughs. Oh, your rainbow watch. "Do you see one? Do you see one?" she asks excitedly. Mm-hmm. "No," he admits, "but maybe it's one of those things. You can't find it until you stop looking." She appreciates the sentiment, but adds, "Oh, maybe we should head back." And he declines with a, "Let's just stay here for a few minutes longer." She agrees and leans her head on his shoulder as they look out at the ocean.
Aww.
I love that part.
Me too. She puts her head on his shoulder and he has the happiest smile on his face. And I'm like, swoon.
And I liked it that he didn't want to leave. I've had those moments, few, rare, far between, hasn't been in a while. But when you're like, I just don't want this moment to end. Let's just stay here for a few minutes longer and draw it out that much more. The next day, Bree and Haley are playing cards in the cabana. "You could have killed the King of Hearts," Haley accuses. "Oh, he was fine," Bree assures her. "We found the most beautiful view, and he really opened up to me. I hate to say it, but I'm kind of getting swept up in this. I can't stop thinking about him. Is that insane?"
Aww.
"Gin," Haley announces triumphantly. "I win." "Stop deflecting," Bree accuses. "I really need your help." Okay, sorry. "Maybe I am deflecting because I also had the best time talking to Luke too. We talked for like hours and it felt like 20 minutes. How did we let them get to us?" "No," Bree argues. "We have to give ourselves more credit. What we're feeling may be real. We just have to get it properly." "Yes," Haley agrees, "and we gotta watch each other's backs to make sure we're not getting distracted." Just then, there's a knock on the door with the new heart announcement. The girls squeal with excitement until they discover that the next date will be with Haley and Marco. Both girls are disappointed, but Haley pipes up, "Don't take it personal. It's not like he has a choice." "Yeah," Bree agrees, but says slowly, it's the producer's choice, and they both realize that Luke coordinated this, and neither of them know how to feel about that. Haley goes off on her date with Marco, and it's on a deserted isle, so she is whisked away on a dinghy with Marie. They arrive to a secluded beach, and Haley is surprised by the lack of crew there. "It's single camera day," Marie informs her. They approach the very small production cast, and Marco, who's doing push-ups on the sand. Do I need to do CrossFit too?" Haley asks nervously, but she doesn't get an answer because Luke is already shouting directions. "We only have 2 hours to do the beach walk, shell collecting, a romantic lunch before we're stranded here, so we're going to have to rapid-fire all the shots." "Wow," Haley says to Marie. "He really knows how to take the romance out of it." Marie looks at her knowingly and says, "You just keep telling yourself that." Next, we are on the beach with Marco and Haley as they gather shells. He presents her with one and she tells him, "Oh my gosh, this is going to be great for the necklace I'm making." He's polite but keeps bringing the conversation back to Bree. "You and her have so many of the same sayings and mannerisms." "Well, that makes sense," she admits good-naturedly. "We've been joined at the hip since the second grade." Off in the distance, Marie and Luke are watching the feed, and Marie complains, "Friendship necklaces? Do these girls even know they're on a reality show? We can't use any of this." No, let it play out," Luke says. "I think we could find something here." Just then, his face gets serious. He puts the camera down and yells, "Everybody get out of the water!" But before he finishes, Marco, whose legs are submerged in the surf, yells, "Ow!" And now we're cutting for a break, and we will get back to the story right after this.
And now we're back. Before the break, Marco had gotten stung by a jellyfish. Oh no, whatever shall they do? Well, I can tell you, no one is peeing on him, but they do load him into the dinghy with Marie and a camera person.
Why aren't they peeing on him, Corinne?
I don't know.
I've heard that's an old wives' tale. Like, in different things, they say pee on it, and some people say don't pee on it.
Well, we saw it in Friends. There was an episode of Survivor where they did it as well. I don't know.
If it was on Friends, it must be the truth.
Well, obviously. I mean, it's a medical show, after all. Like, a medical documentary show. as is Survivor. They load Marco into the dinghy with Marie and a camera person. They can save the shoot by following Marco through his medical ordeal, but only three people can fit on the dinghy, particularly with Marco's legs stretched out and ice-packed. Haley valiantly offers to stay behind. Marie, playing it cool, says, "If you need anything, there's plenty of supplies in the hut." Haley looks a bit worried. How long is she going to be on this island with Luke anyways? "What kind of supplies?" she says. Marie says, "Oh, you know, wine, catered lunch, tiki torches, hint, hint, hint." Back at base camp, Marco's jellyfish sting is being tended to in his cabana. Emily, boss lady and host, sits next to him and assures him that he'll be walking within the hour, but they can reschedule the rest of the day. Marco appreciates her postponing the paint and sip with Vanessa, but when Emily mentions canceling the golf date with Bree, suddenly Marco is feeling better. "You know what? I actually think I'm up for the dates. I'm really starting to recover over here," he says. Once Emily knows that Marco is taken care of, she turns to Marie and asks her to speak with Luke. Marie says, "I had to leave Luke and Haley on the island. The boat max is out at three people." Emily looks at her confused. "The boat seats five people." Marie gets a look of surprise on her face. "Oh, really? I did not know that." Emily is miffed. "Please, just leave and go get them," Marie says. "Absolutely, just as soon as the tide's back out." Back at the deserted island with Luke and Haley, they have set up tiki torches. There is a romantic picnic. They're having a lot of different getting-to-know-you conversations. They are boring, but trust me, they have delightful banter and share their hopes and dreams. All the stuff you need to help establish romance and intimacy. Wow. Just wow.
Are you saying Luke and Haley are boring or that their conversation's boring?
Conversation is boring. Does not translate
well.
And
in this moment, they're boring too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're boring too. Well, that's why we're not regaling you with what they said.
Watching it, I was entertained. Regaling it just sounds really lame and boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Speaking of wow, just wow, in a very different way, Vanessa and Marco are on their wine and paint date, and it's pretty incredible. Vanessa is looking super cute with her blonde bob and a white floral sundress. Marco and Vanessa are outside on the lawn facing each other as they paint. Vanessa, holding a glass of wine in one hand and a paintbrush in the other, says, "Things haven't been the same between us since you-know-who came onto the scene." Marco chuckles. "It certainly has mixed things up." Vanessa flips her hair. "But we don't need to talk about her right now. It's just you and me and art. I can't wait to see what your divine inspiration is on canvas. I hope I inspired you." Marco glances at his canvas, which has a blue background and, to be generous, some Miro-esque art on the canvas, aka some circles and squiggles in different colors. He says, "While I don't think you'll expect what I painted, I also am not sure it should really be viewed at all." Vanessa shrugs off his protestations. "I'm sure it's great. You know," she says, dabbing at the canvas. "As a philosophile," Marco interrupts. "And excuse me, what?" Vanessa happily responds, "Philosophile, a lover of the sea," which goes back to what you said underwater enthusiast.
Yes.
"Anyways, in my art, I'm inspired by the sea, but you've become a bit of an inspiration, a muse for me." Marco obliviously dabs away at his canvas, lost in thoughts of Bree. Vanessa breaks into his thoughts. Marco? "Hmm?" he says, looking over at her with a Mona Lisa smile. Vanessa says, "Did you hear anything I said?" An oh shit look passes over his face. "I'm so sorry. Can you repeat yourself?" Vanessa looks at him intensely. "No need to apologize. You've had a stressful day, and I'm ready to show you my painting." She flips her canvas around, and Tamara, would you like a turn at describing this gem, or do you want me to describe it and you comment?
It was, I can only describe it as, what the fuck? I will leave it up to your
I'm going
to
get a little more specific.
Yeah. I've been cringing this whole time up until this point. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, here it comes. Here it comes.
There's an ombre blue background, coral sand, and plants at the bottom of the canvas. And in the center is a painting of Vanessa as a mermaid staring intently at Merman Marco, who is holding her hand, and with his other hand, he is holding a trident. It is a sight to behold. Marco looks at the painting stunned. Oh, wow, that's really something. The detail, Vanessa says proudly. I made sure to scale the scales perfectly. Marco smiles with his mouth, but his eyes say, get me out of here. And Emily, boss lady and host of the show, and Marie look on as Emily says, this isn't good. Marie says, she paints better than I can. Emily is exasperated. I'm not talking about the merman. I'm talking about their chemistry. Ever since Bree came onto the scene, he's lost complete interest in Vanessa. And we want there to be a question as to the ending. We're going to need to do something to mix things up a bit. Emily looks thoughtfully off into the distance, and Marie has an expression that says, wow, you are one slightly unhinged boss lady.
We next see Marco zipping towards Brianna golf cart, who's standing on a gorgeous white sand beach. They gave you a golf cart? She exclaims, and he nods, only after I was attacked by a wild animal. She's sympathetic and says, we should probably cancel our date then. And Marco says, no. Actually, let's go early before the cameras get there. And Tamara says, I think some true rulemaking is afoot. Oh, because he hurt his foot. A foot.
Oh!
finger guns. Oh, boy.
Finger guns.
Oh, my God. I am the biggest dork. God damn it. When I think I write something noteworthy or funny, I put asterisks in front of it. And I was like, what the fuck did I put asterisks in front of that for? Next level note taking. Next level. Bree casually glances in the back of his cart and says, there's no golf clubs. How are we supposed to golf without clubs? He gives her a mischievous crooked smile and asks, do you trust me? And she must, because she jumps in right beside him and they zoom off. Woo-hoo. They get to an oceanside golf course and Bree questions, why are we going so fast? And Marco responds, just trying to make your dreams come true. They get out of the cart and stand in front of the golf hole. And Marco begins to count down. In 4, 3, 2. And Tamara writes in her notes that the men in this movie are quite fond of counting. It gets to 1 and the sprinklers go off. Creating a low-hanging rainbow. Look, look, he gestures excitedly. Your dream come true. Aww. Bree smiles but says, I don't think that counts. And Margot, undeterred, says, but do I get credit for creativity? And she turns towards him and says softly, yes. She grabs his hands in hers and they kiss. Aww. A soft, sweet, nice kiss. So, she says quietly, what do we do now? Marco looks over the golfing green and says, there's only one thing I could think of. And they go running through the sprinklers. They yell, they frolic. He was a man after my own heart. I would be so into that.
I would too.
Meet with somebody that wasn't 17 back in the day when I knew them first, but I mean, still. Somebody older, more age appropriate to me would totally have my heart for that. Anyways, they yell, they frolic, they kiss again, right under the rainbow. Just them, no camera, no crew, all magic.
I do want to be clear, neither of us are confused. We're not trying to date Marco / Corbin Blue, who is married, but even if he weren't, too young. Hot body, too young.
Not thinking about it.
You know you're thinking about it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Get out of my head, Corinne. Get out of my head.
Let's get it on.
Hateful. Back on the deserted isle, Haley is probing for info. So who's getting voted off, she asks. And Luke says, why are you asking me? Ask Marco. I'm not, she confesses, because I know you pull all the strings. She gives him a rundown of the evidence, to which he refutes all her accusations. Why are you so worried about it? He asks. Because, Haley responds, I don't want to go to the finals. What about your clothing line? Luke asks, and she balks. It's not enough for me to get pitted against my best friend. Just send me gracefully into the night. There's just one problem, he says. They stop and she looks up at him. What's that? She asks, with a smile playing across her lips. He turns serious. I don't want you to go, he admits, and they gaze into each other's eyes. Until a windswept voice in the distance says, hey, you two, what did I miss? It's Marie, back with the boat to pick them up. They both blurt, nothing, trying to seem innocent. There was a kissus that was interruptuses.
Ooh.
Back at the Heart Choices base camp, Emily is having a spa treatment. A production assistant approaches her with a device and says, excuse me, ma'am? Emily tries to wave her off dismissively until the assistant says, I think we found what you were looking for. Emily shoots up and gives the girls her full attention, but we are not shown what she has found. Yet.
Uh-oh. Marie and Luke drop Haley off at the cabana in their golf cart. Once Luke has said goodbye to Haley, Marie turns to him. Anytime you want to thank me, I'm here. Luke scoffs. What are you talking about? We were about to kiss and you pulled up in your boat. Marie rolls her eyes. You had 6 hours, Luke. 6 hours. If you couldn't get it done in that time, there is literally nothing I could have done for you. Luke says, nah, I knew it wasn't you. How long have you been planning this anyways? Marie cockily says, serendipity. I saw a moment and I went for it. Luke says, thanks. That was next level. Marie looks up at him. Speaking of next level, Emily has that look in her eyes. Luke hops back into the cart. Ugh, I'm going to be doing some major meddling bananas look. Haley starts driving the car and nods her head. Yep, that's the one. Luke sighs, knowing he's going to have some collateral damage to deal with. That night, Bree and Haley prep for tomorrow. Haley puts a lovely necklace that she made from small beach stones around Bree's neck. Bree does not have two necks. She only has one. Bree's neck.
I have two necks.
Hi, me too. They figure out what they're going to wear, and Haley lets Bree know that she's a shoo-in. Luke told her that Bree was going to be chosen. Bree looks up happily. I can't believe I'm falling for the King of Hearts. Haley says, ugh, just call him Marco. That's way more normal. They laugh, and Haley picks up Bree's notebook, the ones with all of her heart decisions plotting. Haley says, perusing the notebook. I don't see anything about kissing Marco in the sprinklers on here. Bree chuckles. Ugh, let's get rid of that notebook. I don't need it anymore. Haley concurs. Let's burn it. It's the last remaining evidence of your diabolical reality show plotting. Mwah-ah-ah-ah-ah. She tosses the notebook off to the side, and with that, we are finished with our time in the cabana.
The day of the final show, Marco is unwinding in the hotel lounge playing pool. Emily approaches him with a concerned look on her face, and he asks, is anything wrong? To which she gives him a screen and says, see for yourself. It shows the Heart Choices trailer for the upcoming show. It's him, looking serenely off in the distance. The announcer says, will Marco find out? Then there's a film montage of Bree highlighting all the scheming things she did. It shows her walking into the introduction while a voiceover plays her saying, this is a game, one that I'm good at and one that I'm going to win. I want to be the first runner-up, so I'm on the next season. The camera flashes to the first day where she auditioned for the show. They videotaped Bree flipping her hair back and saying, look out, Marco, it's my time to shine. He is devastated by this and asks, did she really say all this? Emily tells him, the tape speaks for itself. I just wanted you to know ahead of time, and no matter what you decide, America will be behind you. She leaves with a satisfied look on her face while he stands there, devastated. Right before the final show, Luke approaches Marco backstage. He tries to hand him the earpiece, but Marco declines. There's something amiss, and Luke asks, is everything okay? And Marco nods and says, I just have to get my game face on. I'm not going to use the earpiece today. I want to speak from the heart. Luke reluctantly nods and hands him the final hearts that have Haley and Bree's name on them. I think you're going to be happy with your choices tonight, he says brightly. And when Marco doesn't reciprocate, Luke walks away, leaving Marco to contemplate how he's going to swing this episode. We are at the final filming. Emily gives her spiel about two girls being left to vie for his attention. Ooh. What's going through your mind? She asks. Well, a lot, Marco shares. I spent a lot of time with these girls, found out what makes them all tick, shared a lot about myself, but a lot has happened in the last couple of days, and there's a big decision to make. Mm. Emily steps aside, and Marco calls, Bree, can you please come forward? When she does, he says, everything's changed for me when you came on the show. Before, I was in my head and more concerned about how people perceived me. You changed all that. You pushed me to be who I wanted to be, and I opened myself up to you completely. Which is why it hurts so much to find out that the only real reason you came on the show is to be the next season's Queen of Hearts. Luke behind the camera's face falls, and he utters, oh no, as Marco continues. This may be a game to you, but it's not to me. Is what I'm saying true, Bree? She tries to explain, but he cuts her off. Yes or no, he demands. And all she can do is shake her head. Yes, she whispers. Then he says, you've made my choice for me. Goodbye, Bree. She makes an emotional exit while Emily announces, that leaves two ladies left. Tune in next time to see who Marco chooses. Marie shakes her head in disbelief while Luke throws down his golden headphones and declares, that wasn't supposed to happen. Haley is pissed and hollers back, oh yeah? Sure it wasn't. I hope you get your precious ratings, and storms off. He yells, cut! And Marco also storms off, throwing the glitter hearts into the nearby pool. He went against the script because as the hearts float to the edge of the water, you can see the names that are written were Bree and Vanessa. Luke clumsily tries to do damage control while Vanessa, who's standing poolside, sees her name and tries to fish it out of the water, just as Emily chases after Marco and inadvertently bumps her into the water. Luke chases Bree and Haley back to their cabana. He knocks on the sliding glass door, but they're busy packing up their stuff, so he yells through the glass, I swear I didn't know what was going to happen. Oh, really? Haley says, dubious. That wasn't you feeding him those lines? No, Luke protests. I swear he didn't even have an earpiece in tonight. He didn't want it. Haley reluctantly slides the door open as Bree says, he's right. They must have filmed our conversation at the audition. Remember? Haley, incredulous, turns towards Luke. You filmed that? He nods and confirms, we film everything. And if there was dirt in that footage, Emily's minions would have found it. Bree admits, Marco has every right to be mad at me if he heard what I said. And she leaves to collect her things while Luke offers, let me go find Marco. Maybe I can talk to him. Why? Haley says defensively, what will that change? None of this is real. We knew what this was. It was a game, and we lost at it. Luke looks at her sadly and says, I guess it's true what you said in one of those conversations that we probably cut out because it was too long and boring, that the best love stories can't be staged. They just happen. He apologizes again and leaves looking defeated. Bree, after he leaves, asks Haley, what are you going to do? And she responds, I'm leaving with you. Just as the voice from the same direction Luke left says, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Oof. It's Emily. She says you can either play ball wearing whatever you want or go home and get sued by the network and, incidentally, cost Luke his job. I'm sure you'll make the right decision. She leaves and Bree ponders, oh, this is a lose-lose situation. No, Haley objects. It's fine. I'll just go out there and play my part. No, Bree interrupts. I mean with Luke and Marco. Haley gives her friend a steely look and says, maybe not. What if we could give all of them a dose of their own reality? And she smiles the smile of somebody who's hatching a plan. Dun, dun, dun,
dun. This next section I call Return to the Forbidden Fountain. In the middle of drying her hair, Vanessa hears a knock on her door. A black heart slides under the door, and she's intrigued. Later, she returns to the Forbidden Fountain. Dum 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 dum. Haley is waiting for her. Haley wants to reignite her alliance with Vanessa, but Vanessa is dubious. Haley brings out the big guns to let her know she's serious. The finger guns! Finger guns, finger guns, finger guns! No, it's the silver halo designer dress that Haley was planning on wearing to the finale. She says, this will look better on you, and I can make sure you come out on top. Vanessa is intrigued, and We cut to the next day, or what I like to call the mystery plan payback montage. The next day, Marie gets a walkie-talkie message from Haley. Codename, Curious. Marie is suspicious. How'd you get a walkie? And this better be good. Haley sneaks up to the trailer and Marie and her talk. A kicky song plays in the background as Haley talks with the super hot horse guy. What is she up to? Haley goes to wardrobe, gesturing wildly and excitedly at the person there who was apparently willing to hook her up with, who knows? Not me, but I believe we'll find out soon enough. Like, in the very next scene. We've reached the show finale. We see a beautiful arbor covered in roses and ferns with gauzy white fabric hanging from the back. Marco is standing in front of it in a beautiful navy suit, no tie. Emily, boss lady and host, is standing next to him and gets things kicked off. We're in the home stretch, everyone. Let's get this done. Roll cameras. Luke says, action. And Emily starts hosting. Today is the day that Marco is making his heart choice for the last time. She turns to Marco. Are you ready? Marco has a fantastic grimace smile on his face and says, absolutely. Emily continues, great. Let's bring out our ladies. And we see the approach of Haley and Vanessa. Vanessa is in a gauzy pink evening gown with a sparkly crystal top. And Haley is dressed as... What would you say her outfit was?
An astronaut.
Was she a sexy astronaut?
She was not.
She is in a blue jumpsuit with space badges on it and has an astronaut helmet under her arm. And that jumpsuit is not fitted in the least. They are quite the pair. Marco gets a huge smile on his face. Finally, after he had his horrible, curse your son but inevitable betrayal moment the day before, there is a bit of levity. Luke glances over at Marie. You want to tell me what's going on here? She says, nope. Shakes her head and keeps her eyes on the spectacle in front of her. The ladies approach Marco and Emily keeps her composure. Vanessa, you look so lovely. What are you wearing? This is a dress from my new favorite designer, Silver Halo. Emily praises her. I can see why. It's absolutely stunning. And Haley, wow, I said you could wear whatever you wanted, and I can see you really embraced that. Why did you choose that particular outfit? Haley smiles smugly. I would love to tell you, but it's a surprise. Emily clenches her smile. You know I don't like surprises. Haley says, you'll find out soon. Emily continues. Okay, well, Marco, it's time for you to make your heart choice. Marco looks at both of the ladies. Vanessa, he says. And she smiles and approaches him. He looks at her intensely. You have always been there for me. And loyalty is a rare quality in this day and age. And something I really cherish about you. I'm not ready to propose, but I'm hoping that you will accept this heart, my heart, so we can build towards something beautiful together. Vanessa smiles. Marco, I've been waiting for you to ask me that, and if someone had said to me that this is what I'd say when it came down to you making my dreams come true and choosing me, I would have called them a lying liar pants, because I have to say no to you. I have been so loyal to you, but you have not been so much to me, and I deserve someone who is going to devote themselves to me with the same passion that I do for them. Someone who will be the merman to my beautiful mermaid self.
Did she really say that? She didn't say that, did she? Okay, dear God. I'm like... I started getting the sweats when you said that. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus.
It's clear to me that your heart is with someone else. Tears well up in her eyes and she looks off into the distance. Will I ever get a real chance at love? She says tearfully and she runs off sobbing. Suddenly, Haley comes walking up with her full astronaut Luke in place. She's wearing the helmet and bringing a horse to Marco. Marco is looking as puzzled as fuck, and Emily is keeping it together, but has a, you've got to be fucking kidding me look on her face. Haley explains, there is more to Bree's story than she was allowed to say. I hope you'll give her the chance to explain. I know she'd do the same for you. Marco gets a huge smile on his face. Do you know where I can find her? And Haley says, nope, but she said you'd know. Marco mounts the horse and takes off. Emily says, follow that horse. Luke is shaking his head and Marie backs up Emily. Come on, people, follow the horse. Let's move. Luke hands the golden headphones to Marie and she says, it's about time you realized I was meant for this. And she jogs off to her golf cart to hopefully salvage the shoot and get some footage. Marco arrives on horseback in his impeccably fitted suit and Bree is waiting for him. She starts off. Marco, I really didn't mean to hurt you when I went into the show. I didn't think I'd find something real. And then I met you, and everything changed. Marco looks at her with heart eyes. Their gaze is fully in the Kiss tractor beam. Maybe it's one of those things you can't find until you stop looking for it.
That sounds familiar.
Somehow. They gaze at each other, and Marco goes in for the kiss. And it's lovely. The camera pulls out and there's a beautiful rainbow arcing over their heads. But we have one more couple that we should not forget about. Back at the arbor, Luke and Haley talk. Luke says, great outfit. I think that's what Cleopatra wore to seduce Julius Caesar. But I have to ask, how in the heck did you get Vanessa to get on board this choo-choo train? Haley, crafty woman that she is, states, well, I told her she'd be the star of the next season and that I would design silver halo dresses for her during that season. Luke is impressed. Wow. Way to make everything happen. Speaking of making things happen, today was my last day on the job as I plan on making my documentary dreams happen. Let's have things, more things happen. Let's say the word happen 5 more times. How about that? I know I had talked about doing a series on 100-year-olds called Centurions, but now I'm thinking about something a little different. A true story of 7 strangers that are picked to live in a house, work together, and have their lives taped to find out what happens when people...
I can't make it through!
Stop being polite and start getting real.
That sounds like a great show. I hope he makes that someday.
Very original. Anyhow, regardless of what I settle on, I'm doing it all in San Francisco. Haley looks at Luke. What a coincidence. That happens to be where I live. You don't say, he says. They look at each other. The Kiss tractor beam is in full effect. And they kiss.
That was a ride.
Yes.
A horse ride, a golf cart ride, a plane ride all the way to Hawaii. What do you give that movie, Corinne?
I give this movie 4 dry kisses. I solidly enjoyed it. It was relatively diverse. It also had nice banter. The thought of her being a clothing designer, they could have developed that a little bit more, I would say.
You didn't buy the whole Statue of Liberty, the dress-making thing?
It was pretty beautiful, gotta say.
Oh, the ruffles of it all.
Oh, the ruffles. I thought it was well acted. I liked the dynamic between the two different couples, how very different their relationships were. And then there was Marie, and that movie gets 4 dry kisses just for Marie on its own, quite honestly. Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, she was fan. Fantastic. What do you give this bad boy?
Dang it. When you said that, I was like, samesies. I'm going to give it 4 dry kisses too. I agree with everything that you said up until the couple dynamic. Uh-huh. Like, I love the writing on this movie. I thought it was a lot of it was really smart and entertaining. There was a lot of points where I laughed out loud. Mm-hmm. The end surprised me when I was like, why the hell is she wearing an astronaut outfit?
Oh,
like, usually
amazing.
You can predict the end. And then I was like, exactly what's going on here? Marie, revelation, like her stuff was just so on point that I put most of her conversations in my notes because she was just funny.
Uh-huh.
But I felt Bree and Marco. I liked Bree and Marco. I liked their dynamic. I could see them falling for each other. But the Haley and the Luke
felt a little forced, almost like they were trying to do the corresponding love interest line. And yeah, they had like nice conversations, but we left a good chunk of them out because they were boring. Not boring. They didn't add to the overall story, except that they're supposed to be falling in love, but I was not feeling it between them. I felt like they could have just equally have been friends trying to get Bree and Luke together without that whole romantical line that they kind of forced in there. But other than that, I mean, I still thought it was a really good movie. I thought it was really entertaining. I just felt like I could have done without the Haley and Luke aspect of it.
I'm all for like good banter, and they had excellent banter back and forth. And so for me, like, that's the hottest. But I understand what you're saying.
Then there was that whole bare-chested incident that just made me super uncomfortable, you know, for whatever reason I will not go into. But 4 dry kisses for me as well.
Sweet. Ooh, what are we talking about next week? It's our first October official October-chested movie.
It is Yes, I Do.
Oh, that sounds like a winner.
No, it's not. We both did not see this movie beforehand. Usually Corinne has a leg up on me in the Hallmark watching. But this time I'm like, we're going to go in it. We're going to go in it blind. We're going to go in it together. And boy, howdy did we. But you'll have to wait till next week to find out what we thought of Yes, I Do.
So exciting. If you have comments that you would like to share with us on Love for Real, if you think that Corbin Blue should be topless all the time, or you think that I, Corinne, am a giant perv for thinking that he's the hotness,
you let can't us know. See me, gentle listeners, but my hand is in the air. I'm raising my hand. I am.
Oh, you're
one of those people.
You're a perv.
No, I'm saying I think that you're a perv. Oh. You said if you think I'm a perv,
okay.
And I'm like,
I see. Okay, that's fine. Hashtag no judgments here. I see how it is. You can email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at onedrykiss on all of those platforms.
And as always, one of those platforms that you listen to, if you have the chance to give us a 5-star rating or let us know what you think of the show, we love seeing them. The good ones, not the bad ones, please. So we would appreciate if you find the time to give us any of those 5-star reviews or the glowing things that people say just make our day. So more of those, yay, please. And next time we will be bare-chesting it all for you. But for now, we will bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah. See you next time.
Bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye. I was wondering why you weren't chiming into one of these things is not like the other song. I was like, where's my girl at? I didn't know there was 2 different versions to that song.
One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you guess which thing is not like the other before I finish this song? Totally different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely different.
But I think yours is lovely. I'm going with that one. Bam. Voice of a nightingale.
I wanted a duet. I wanted a duet. I was like, can you tell me these things? Is where are you, Corinne? Not like the other. Now it's time to Corinne play this game. Corinne, it's time to play this game. And you were just looking at me confused, and I was like, what is happening here?
I was just soaking in the newness of that rendition that I'd never heard before. I was like, I'm bathing in your golden tone. Spring it. Bring it.
Golden tones. I just, you're singing it wrong. Wrong. Wrong words. Wrong.
Next time, don't close your eyes.